your.
Mom's Connection! You guys, this is so fun. I was in Mom's Connection for 5 years, and this is my first year not being in Mom's Connection, and side B was my side. So I have, you guys have an extra special place in my heart. We spoke at A last week, and I was like, you know, kind of half speaking, because they're like the dark side. No, I was I did leadership 4 years out of the five, and I was a part of when we split, and because we used to be all one big group, so we always had jokes in our leadership meetings about, you know, the A side, let's not include them, and, you know, funny jokes like, you know, they're now the dark side, but no, they're fine. But special place in my heart for B. So let's start with prayer. We're so excited. We can't wait to laugh. Everyone's going to laugh today and smile, but also have some serious moments. So let's give it to the Lord. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for these ladies that have taken time to sign up for a ministry like this that's going to pour into them and encourage their hearts and move them closer to you. So pray that our time today would be sweet, that they would have good discussion at their table in order to just move closer to you, Lord, and mold and shape their lives to just more glorify you. In your name, amen. All right, so we want to start, by finding humor in motherhood. And we're also going to talk a lot about joy today, because joy and humor kind of go together in motherhood. And I'm going to start with a funny story. You ready? Okay. My son was like 1.5. He's the only one I had. He's now 7. And we went to Costco. And so went to Costco, got all our stuff. He's in the cart. We go up to the checkout, and the guy at the checkout is doing the whole, you know, oh, he's so, hey, buddy, how you doing? You're so cute, you know. And I'm just smiling. And then he's not saying anything. Caleb, my son's not saying anything. And he's just in the cart, you know. And then he looks up at the guy, and he says, my mama has gas. To the guy. That's all he says. And I'm like, you know, scooting him on. Like, it might be true, but let's not talk about it right now, okay? But, yeah, that's the only thing he said, and I don't know if the guy heard, because I just quickly came. Oh, yeah. So, anyways, he was too young to scold, so I just, yeah. But motherhood can have such humor, right? It's important to laugh. Our kids say the darndest things. Remember the show? And we should keep note of that. We should keep a notebook, probably. But everyone knows humor lasts only for a moment, right? It's important and it's funny and some things you remember, but joy and enjoying each other lasts longer. And creating a joy inside your child that just lasts way longer than something funny. And that's what we want to speak in today, too. The dictionary definition, or I'm going to talk about happiness and joy. The dictionary definition of happiness is a state of being happy. That should not count, because that's just ridiculous, state of being happy. And then good fortune, pleasure, and contentment. So that's happiness. That's the only thing the dictionary says. The dictionary definition of joy has 4. The emotion of great delight, expression or display of glad feeling, festive, elation, a source, a cause of keen pleasure. Do you hear all those like unique words in there of joy that aren't really used for happiness? There's a difference, ladies, between happiness and joy. Did you see that? So even the world recognizes that in the dictionary. Happiness is a state of being, but joy is deeper. Do you hear that? It's much more involved. It goes deeper. Joy is in the depth. When you have joy, it's a different emotion than just being happy. So also, scripture speaks a lot into joy. In the ESV version, the word joy and enjoyment is mentioned 194 times, opposed to happy or happiness is mentioned 10 times. See the difference? I think the Lord also speaks into joy, the everlasting, you know, emotion of joy and how much it goes farther than just being happy. And I was actually, this was not in my notes last week because this just happened yesterday. I was in my devotional in Habakkuk of all books. And I read this and I was just like, yes, like that's exactly what we're talking about. Listen to these words, Habakkuk 3:17 through 19. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. So that means that, you know, Habakkuk is saying everything could be taken away from me and the Lord can still provide enough joy for me to have joy in life and I could have nothing. I mean, as a believer, do you know how big that is? That means in your little nights, and I'm not saying little as belittling it, but putting it in perspective, in the sleepless nights and the days that are hard, even you can have joy in that and to know joy even if all of that was taken away, if the worst tragedy of everything, we can still have joy because when we have Christ, right? And joy doesn't come naturally, does it? We have to fight, especially in motherhood. It does not come naturally. So we got tantrums. We got sleepless nights. What else? Shout them out. Potty train. Yes. Pooping on the floor. What else? What else? What? Peeing in the car seat. Puke. Vomiting. All that. You're like, seriously? I had a day when I had my little that within 10 minutes, it was like my oldest got a bloody nose. One peed all over and then one vomited. I was literally like it was like boom, boom, boom. I'll never forget that day. That was one I wrote down. I've never had that again, but it was like back to back to back. And joy doesn't come naturally, but joy is an attitude, right? Joy, some people equate like joyfulness with an outgoing personality. And, you know, it appears of like, you know, in order to, you know, you're a joyful person, you know, you're loud, you're smiling, you're elation. That's what the dictionary, you have a lot of elation. I don't even know if that's the sentence. But, that person is joyful. Well, joyful is an attitude. I can be the most happy person and on the outside and my joy can be is not there because I have it takes on a grateful attitude, right? Gratefulness, thankfulness, and you can show that to your kids through different ways. So look for ways to help your kids choose joy and see joy and see love. And I'm going to tell one more story and then Karen's going to come up. I had an opportunity through my son. Again, here's Caleb, poor Caleb. He said gas, and now he's got this issue. But I had my first bus situation. Has anybody had a bus situation yet? Am I the only first grader in the room? I'm old. Oh, that's why I quit Mom's Connection. I'm old. I had this bus situation. He rides the bus home. I take him in the morning, and it's never happened before. And he got off the bus, and he comes to the door, and he has tears in his eyes, and somebody was mean to him on the bus. I'm like, oh, no, they didn't. I was like, okay, who was it? What's his name? You know, and he was actually had tears. He had never had tears. And I was like, you know, what'd they say? And, you know, and he's like, well, it was a girl. I'm like, I know she didn't. You not only did someone mean the bus, she's now my gender. And not only am I going to be mad, I'm going to no mercy now because you are my gender. And it gets worse, ladies. Her name was Rachel. It was. I'm not even kidding you. He's looking at her name. I'm like, her name was what? you know, so I'm like, oh, and I'm, it's funny right now, but I was actually like, you know, the mama bear moment. I was like, I'm like, you know, starting to fill up with this because it's kind of the first, you know, like, okay. So I'm thinking in my mind, okay, tomorrow, I'm not even kidding you, I'm going to get on that bus and he's going to pull up and I'm going to get up the bus and be like, excuse me, Rachel, could you come to the front? I have a few things I need to say to you. And I was like, I was dead set. I was going to be the first mom ever to get on the bus and confront a child. And I just wanted to take over for him. And he was sad. And the Holy Spirit talked to me very loudly because he just said, then what? Like, then what? And the word love just washed over me. And I was like, you have the opportunity to show how he can love this person. And instead of, you know, handling it for him or pushing him to say something, well, you tell her, you know, that her mom is going to, you know, anyways. So I said, you know what, Caleb? I had time to think about it. And I said, you know, there's probably a chance that she doesn't have love at home. Did you know there might be a chance that no one is nice to her at home? And taking on, like, and this is, you saw my flesh. This is not me speaking. This is totally the Lord convicting me. My flesh was to snap back. But speaking into, she might not have love. Let's show her love. Let's respond in a joyful and a loving way. And so I said, why don't you make her a card? So he's like, yeah. So he runs and he makes her a card and just says, will you be my friend, you know, and makes her this card. So he puts in it, we put in his backpack and we pray about it that night before he goes to bed. And so, you know, the next day I'm peeking out the window, wait. So he comes to the door and I'm like, how'd it go? You know, did you give it to her? He's like, yeah. I'm like, what'd she say? And he's like, she looked at it and she's like, you made this for me? And he's like, yeah. And she said, thank you. And she sat down and she never really bothered him again. He did say, the other boys, do you like her or something? And he's like, no, you know. So, you know, they said that, but she was, it quieted her. And she was really receptive to it, and it could have gone a different way, but I'm thankful. But just after that card, the rest of the day was just such a joyful day. I could see a change in him. He was like, yeah, we responded in love. He loved making a card to make her feel like, you know, you can be mean to me, but this is how I'm going to respond. So finding those moments to turn around, and the rest of the day was so joyful. It was such a good day. We had good conversation, and he was just in a happy mood. Does that make sense? Like, it just helped him to turn his focus to just have a joy-filled day. We're going to respond with love and joy. So look for those opportunities. So.
Well, I have to start, maybe, by turning on the mic. I have no idea. Okay. Well, I don't know why I gave you a dead mic. just for kicks, I guess. Okay. I remember very clearly the first day that I met Rachel, and so I just want to share this with you. It was not the first day I met Rachel, I have to clear that up. It's the first day that I knew that Rachel was really going to be my friend. Rob and I used to teach the Young Mary's class here. We were called the post-nuptials, like prenuptials, this was on the other side. And it was a Sunday morning. It was a beautiful day. We were parked in the parking lot. I was walking into church, and I was wearing one of my very favorite outfits. And you may even see me in that. It's the summer. It's like a black T-shirt. Then it's this tiered skirt that's got all of these different colors. It's like tie-dyed. And it just flows when you walk and makes me feel so good because it was important to me to look cool to these young women that were in the class. And so I looked very cool indeed, didn't I? So as I'm walking in, Bob always loves to park at the very farthest part of the parking lot. He thinks we should get our steps in. And so we're over like past gravel, and I'm coming in, and I just felt like so good in this skirt, and I'm just, it was so airy and kind of moving around. And so I'm walking through, and I'm going past we come in the children's entrance. There's all those young families in the tree, you know where you all are on Sunday mornings, and walking into E10 where we were meeting at E110. And as soon as I got in the room, this being came up behind me and just pressed herself against me almost like glue. And I realized this was Rachel, and I look behind, and she whispers in my ear, "Your skirt is caught in your underwear." I had walked very cheerfully through the entire parking lot and that whole area. Did anyone stop and say that? No, but Rachel did. It's a friend that tells you these things. Who knows how much longer I could have gone without somebody saying that to me before I walked into the sanctuary. So, well, thank you very much. We work on that. So anyway, that is my experience with Rachel. And so I knew that somebody would do that. You know, the friend that tells you you've got the broccoli in your teeth, that's your friend. So talking about joy, another side of that, and if you go on with that, is an aspect of it is how we enjoy one another and creating homes where we enjoy each other, that your children enjoy being at home, that your husband enjoys coming home. And it creating that is like an atmosphere of love. We have contentment. We look forward to being with one another. We delight in conversations and things we do together. Isn't that what we want in our homes? Now, my husband has this saying, and he says, "If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy." And sometimes I want to turn around and say, "Yeah, and what you gonna do about that?" And but that is true. There's something about moms and wives that we set the tone for things that happen in our home. That rhymed. All right. So good job. But as we do that, I think one way that helps me to set that tone is thinking of how do I want my children or my husband to take it small. Remember this day. A week from now, how do I want them to remember this day? And then tomorrow, how do I want them to remember that day? And so forth. And if you think about that, how do I want them to have an attitude of what happened in this home? That memory, is it going to be filled with strife, or it was just a so-so time, or was it a time of joy? Or that they find something where that they were comfortable and felt cared for and loved, and that they enjoyed being in that home. I want to be very purposeful about how my children, or I was very purposeful about how my children would remember their childhood. Now, like Rachel said, some of us just don't laugh easily by nature. We just don't have that kind of temperament where we're going to find something funny in everything. Rachel and I just had a very funny moment in the bathroom together. I'm on staff here, and I noticed that there was a coffee cup with just half filled with coffee. It looked cold to me, sitting in the coffee, you know, sitting by the sink. And I'm just like, you know, that's somebody's trash, and they forgot it, and I'm going to put it away. And so I'm reaching for it. I don't hear, but Rachel's saying, that's my coffee. And the entire time, I'm taking it over and just dropping it right into the trash can. But there are times when we looked at each other, and instead of Rachel looking at me and going, "That was my coffee," we just laughed, just finding the joy in something as silly as that. Some of us don't have that kind of personality where we're going to laugh that seriously. And so what we're going to say today and the different things that work in our homes and our families may not work in your home. It's just not the way that God's wired you. But we're going to give you two things to think about in order to kind of program your homes to be homes where not only are there places of joy, but where you enjoy each other. And the first one is this. It's your attitude, like Rachel already said. How do you determine how you are going to react to something? And I'm not just talking about not sweating something, but actually turning it to something that's fun and that you enjoy it. Do you know, have you ever heard the old wives' tale or have had this misconception that ostriches, they put their heads where? In the sand. That's not true. Did you know that? Ostriches do not put their heads in the sand. They actually just lay them on the ground. And you wonder why this big bird would walk around and every now and then just puts head on the ground. And the reason for that is they are trying to get a different perspective on a situation. So if they look at it this way, it looks different. I love dogs, and we've always got a dog in the house. And have you noticed that dogs, whenever you talk to them, they'll kind of, huh? You know? I love trying to say something that'll make them go, huh? Usually it has the word walk or ride in the car or treat or something in the sentence. But that's them, that's the dog just trying to get a new take on what you're trying to say. So whenever things happen in your home, just like when Caleb comes off the bus, just that, okay, how can we look at this situation differently in order to bring joy? So first one is your attitude. And the second thing is through being intentional about what you do together. Okay, so activities. It sounds kind of boring, but it's the things that you would do together. How are you going to fill your day when you have little ones at home? How are you going to fill it to have something where it's going to bring joy? When I was first married all those years ago, and I was so young, not true, but there was a book out that was by Shirley Dobson called Let's Make a Memory. And it was pages and pages of things that you could do together as a family, purposeful to enjoy each other. So having activities that you're very proactive about, I'm going to create a memory for my kids today. So Rachel's going to come talk some more. Oh, yeah, you do. That one.
All right. So just a few ideas. Two things that bring joy in the early years. The first is creating fun moments. Have you guys ever, and some of you probably haven't, but I'm going to encourage you, even if it's not in your personality, to do it one time, getting down to their level. And what I mean is laying prostrate on the floor completely and allowing them to climb on you. It will rock their world. If you've never done it, just the fact that mommy is breaking her shell of being mommy and you get down and let them climb on you is just fun. It's one of, and allowing them to climb on you and seeing their eyes light up of like, what's happening? Kind of let your hair down, dance. You guys dance with your kids? Put on a little boogie, and the fact that they can see mom, you know, not being mom for a few moments is really fun to them. Being silly, obviously. What makes them squeal with delight? Do you know what your kids, what makes your kids, and I'm not just talking about laugh, I'm talking about belly laugh, like squeal with delight, what brings them joy, whether it's, you know, I don't know, getting down to wrestling, a fun activity, arts and crafts. What brings me joy? I mean, great joy is scaring my kids. I don't know. It just from the depth, it just brings me so much joy. I hide. I do all that, seeing the terror on their face. I just it's just so fun. And I say that because they love it. Obviously, they don't judge me, okay? Obviously, I wouldn't keep doing it if they cried every time. But they ask for it. You know, they love it. They love it, love it. And I maybe went too far one time, but this one time, oh man, my youngest, you know, he's two, you know, so I usually like, sometimes we, you know, turn off all the lights and we play bear, you know, at night, and I'm the bear and I love it. And I always hide, you know, or I'm always in a place where it's like a community play, not in like, you know, a room. And well, I went in his room this one time and hid in the corner in the dark, and he walked in and I go, That's all I did. He goes, Mama, Mama. And I just kept going. I kept going. I was like, Mama, Bear, Mommy. I'm like, this is so great. So I said, oh, Blakey, it's just Mama. Well, he was up all night. It backfired. Bear,
bear.
I'm like, there are no bears in Indiana. That's what I said. There are no bears in here. So, you know, he was kissed. So the next morning when I'm like tired eyes and I'm drinking my coffee, I'm like, serves you right, Rachel, serves you right. But I will say, even in that, he asked the next day, bear? He wanted to play again. So see, they love it. I just didn't go too far that time. But what makes them squeal with delight? Spontaneous fun things. Now for you type A people, raise your hand if you're type A. I will get you a paper bag so you can breathe in and out. Spontaneous is not in your dictionary. But spontaneous doesn't have to mean no structure, right? I'm still a structured person. I actually like structure more than you think. I can be uptight, but just like structure, but not being so uptight, you know? Have those spontaneous moments where, you know, you don't plan to go to the park, but you go. And put down the laundry and all that. Letting them play in different things, mud on certain occasions. My husband really did a good job one time of making me like realize, like, it's okay, it's just mud. They came in and they were, you know, they're all muddy and I'm like, oh boy, gearing up for all this cleanup, and I just wasn't going to enjoy it. And he bent down, he's like, you're covered in mud, and made it look like he was mad, covered in mud. And they're like, yeah, so, you know, and he's like, but did you have fun? Like that, and they're like, yeah. So it, like, immediately changed their, you know what I mean? It changed. Sometimes it's that when you're trying to get out the door, of course you're not. Oh, go play in the mud, and then we'll leave. Certain times it's not okay, but you know, letting the small moments of mud, let them have fun. Here's the second theme. Sibling unity through a team mentality brings joy. How do you bond? How do you bond your siblings? All in this together type attitude creates joy and a happy atmosphere. We have a thing in our house where we, you know, say Team Branley. You know, we're on Team Branley, and this is our team, and we will support and we will love each other. And so just giving that sense of belonging, they belong to your team and they love that. Sometimes we'll bring it in and we'll do Team Branley, and they think that's like, it just brings them joy. It brings them a sense of belonging, and sometimes they'll do it. You know, Team Branley. Sometimes I threaten, do you want to be out of Team Branley? No, I'll kick you out. But just having that family, that team, two things that I heard to create sibling unity that I heard on a talk radio show is apologizing when apology needs to happen, it's followed by one or two things that they love about their sibling. And I love that, and we do that because it gives damage control to both parties. One being the person who's offended, it makes them think of things that they really do love about their sibling, and it makes the offender happy to hear what their sibling loves about them. And you can see, at least it works for my kids. Like my daughter one time, you know, my son was having to say two things, and she's like, you like those things about me? You know, she was like, loved to hear, like, and he's like, yeah, I do. And they had a good conversation. So it kind of, it lessens the damage of the hurtful words, and it brings joy to the situation of, this is what I love about you. And maybe, oh, I didn't know that you liked that about me. And they come up with things that the sibling can hear. The other thing is, friends come second if your relationship with your sibling is broken. And I really love that. I can't wait to instill that more. We really don't have, like, friends call yet and say, can you come over? Or, you know, but if your relationship with your sibling is broken, as in, like, you know, you're rude to your sibling and think you're going to run out and play with your friend, that's not going to happen. This Team Branley needs to be connected before any of that happens. So it just teaches, you know, being connected, staying connected. That is not broken. That needs to be fixed. And then three things. So apologizing, friends, and then a talk after a sibling fight is really important. One of the things I heard is what this author of this book said, you know, she talks to her kids, and, you know, I have done this before up in the room, you know, I can see why or how you are upset, but I will not allow you to ruin your relationship with your sister. My job, you know, I can see why you're hurt, but I'm not going to allow you to say words or to, in order to ruin your relationship. So you're kind of, you know, showing that the relationship needs to be there. She, you know, her feelings matter, his feelings matter, and it's important to stay as a team. And so, you know, sympathizing with their emotions, but not allowing, I'm not going to allow you to ruin that relationship. So those are just a few things of bringing joy.
So Rachel and I thought about doing a PowerPoint presentation so we could be really organized in this talk, but we decided not to, so as you can tell, because it would end up just being pictures of our families, and we figured you could find that on Facebook if you're interested. So if you would like to friend us on Facebook, we would love to be your friend, and you can see all we do. And which for Rachel, if you friend her, it at least during the winter, is it Wednesday? She would post some kind of activity that you could do with your children during those kind of cabin fever days we had this winter. And I thought they were fantastic, and I've shared some of the ideas with other people. One of the things that she said to do was draw your kids a bath and throw glow sticks. Of course, it involves darkness with Rachel. But and throw glow sticks into the water and turn out the lights and let the kids take a bath in the dark with the glow sticks. So I just thought, that's a fun kind of original thing to do. So we would be happy to be your friends on Facebook. Through all this, you know, the Bible says, and this is like the verse that we always come back to, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. And remember that that's a principle, not necessarily a promise. It's in the book, written in the book of Proverbs. But that principle we think of in terms of, okay, I want to train up my child to be honest. I want to train up my child to know the Lord. I want to train up my child to be loving. But we can also train up our children to find joy. We can train up our children to see the humor in situations. We can train up our children, just like Rachel said, to have this family camaraderie. She's Team Branley. We are the saying, poor shows are for poor shows, which if your last name's poor show, it's really kind of a unique saying. But we are the poor shows. And so that is something that you can do and you can train up your children with. We are now 15 years plus more on the other side of having our kids in the time period where all this was kind of going on. Our kids are in their 20s. Katie just turned 30. And we're, like you heard, they're just starting to have their own families. But we are still a family who enjoys coming back together. And when I looked at that, I was like, why? And so I sent out, we have a group text that we are probably, it's probably active 2, 3, 4 times a week, where we're all kibitzing on something. Sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's very, very serious. But I said, okay, what were the things that you all remembered about growing up that you really enjoyed? So I want to share some of those things with you, coming back from my kids. Now, we have a lot of inside jokes, traditions, and shared experiences. These are the things that are going to create the culture of your family. They're going to be the things that make your family a family. Our family has some catchphrases. A lot of them were taken from movies, and they just kind of are interspersed in things. Get up, Bambi. You must get up. That was a favorite of ours when they were little, and you couldn't get them to do something. And my husband all of a sudden was the stag in the woods saying, Bambi, you must get up. Of course, he'd say he's always kind of a stag. But anyway, another one is, give me the key, child. I'm not even sure what that's from, but that's just a funny saying. We say, give me the key, child. Or anything from Monty Python. That is something that will come up in conversation in our family. We love puns. We taught our kids puns. And I know, because knock-knock jokes would have driven us crazy, but teaching your kids humor, and puns are supposed to be the lowest form of humor, but actually they cause your children to think about, you know, certain things and words and everything. So we have like whole pun streams, I call them. Like once we get on something, maybe it's trees, and all of a sudden we're pining to tell that joke, and we just leave it alone, and this is getting to be a pain in the, and would you stop already, and so forth. So we have all these different puns that we'll come up with. We also have things that we did with our children very young that now we still do together. Some of those are like pizza family movie night or game night. How many of you do something similar to that? Have you thought about that? Okay. So we make our own pizzas. And my husband, whenever he has to do with pizzas, he takes on different personas. Let's put it that way. So if it's pizza night, he becomes Tony the Pizza Man. And he tosses the pizza dough up in the air, and the flour goes all over my kitchen, and we all enjoy it. And it's just not a pizza night if Tony doesn't show up. Tony's also the plumber. So whenever the toilet stops up, in order for Bob to be able to get through those moments, he has to become someone else. And he becomes Tony the plumber. I'm going to take care of your toilet, and so forth. So just taking on these different personalities and fun things. We love to play games together. It has progressed from Candyland to more like Carcassonne, or we play something called Fish Bowl, or some of you call it Succotash, and we add all of our own rounds to it. And just have fun, having fun together. Now, as the children have grown older, and even in elementary school, they began planning some of the activities and things that we would do. This summer, they planned an activity that we all did together, because heaven knows it would have never been on my bucket list to do the Go Apes rope course over at Eagle Creek, but we did it, and we had a whole lot of fun. Most of the fun was watching Mom as she did the, what do you call it, where, anyway, I was flying, yeah, the zips, and then some of those zips, you just land into a net, and then you got it. I was using muscles I didn't know I had, but it was a lot of fun. And that was actually one of my favorite memories of the entire year. Another one that they came up with this year was like, well, let's have a, what do they call it? An open mic night. That's what it was. An open mic night. So at Christmas, we prepared everybody, come to Christmas with an act or two that you're going to share with everybody. Now, we're not a talented family. I wouldn't say that. Although we had, of course, you know, the piano. We had some piano stuff and some original compositions. But we also had magic shows, and we had jokes. We had the song, what is it, from Pixar's movie The Lava, with it complete with the ukulele and the Hawaiian shirts and all that kind of fun. My daughter-in-law's a nurse. She started an IV on my son. That was part of our open mic night. So having a time just where you do something, and you can do this when the kids are really pretty little. Tell them to come up. They're going to read a poem or tell a story, or maybe they're going to lip sync something. But it's just fun. Invite the grandparents and have a good time. We are looking forward now and all planning very secretively what our next acts will be. These kind of things, they sound maybe kind of surfacey, but they're creating a depth of relationship that you'll see come through in other ways. Why do you seek the joy in something? Why do you want a family that enjoys things? Because not just for the humor and the laughter, but also because it's creating a sense of bonding that whenever there's trouble, it goes deep. So on that same thread where the kids are throwing back to me the things that we did that they found fun and humor in and that they enjoyed as a family was praying together. It's not something that you think of as finding humor, but it is something where you can find joy. And so we have certain times as a family where we just pray together. Always before we get in the car to go on a trip, the kids know we're going to stop in the driveway for a second and pray together. But if when the kids are there, and before one of them lives in North Carolina or South Carolina, before he heads out, we stop and have prayer with them. Or my daughter, if she's making some big business decisions, we pray together, having those moments where they know that they can come together and come with us and pray. And sometimes now, since we're scattered, it is just over a text or it is through a conference call, but those are times that we enjoy each other. So long term, you want and you desire, I know you do, that not only you, whenever you get to be my age, and as Christmas or the holidays or something comes along, whenever I know the kids are coming over, it brings me great joy. But my kids are your age, and I don't want me just to have that joy. I want them to think, I get to go home to Mom's tonight. I'm going to be with Mom and Dad. And for them to find joy in that as well. And not just my kids, but those that they've married. So we've called our daughters-in-law. They are daughters in love. And we want them to love being in our home as much as our children would, and as much as we anticipate and love having them there. So the things that you do and how you spend time together now And that trajectory that you're building on yields an unbelievable fruit on the other side. I know the mentor moms in here could attest to that. And it all comes from being purposeful about your attitude and then being purposeful about creating memories and planning activities together. Something that really surprised me is that training yourself or training your children to find joy, you actually end up training yourself. Now, naturally, if you knew me, you would know that I'm an anxious person. I can be a critical person. I can be an angry person. This just doesn't come naturally. I think joy is a supernatural emotion that comes from the Lord and being created in the image of God. But tell you a little story. Last Thanksgiving, we were all getting together, and we had rented one of those, cottages where, what is it, whatever, I'm just losing it, Verbo, okay, where you go online and you get the house. And so we are got this house over in South Carolina, and so we are going to go in the Smokies and have this wonderful Thanksgiving time together. Now, the wonderful thing about being in a place like that is that you're all together, and it's beautiful, and you've had this wonderful time. But the other thing is you have to think about the food, because it's Thanksgiving. And so kids, we celebrate with food at our family, so we are bringing all the food down. We're driving in my husband's Jeep Cherokee. We're caravanning with the ones that live here, and they're in their car. We're in our car. And of course, in our family, we're all bringing our dogs as well. So we're in our car with the food with our dog. And we got the cooler with most of the stuff, but I have made pies. Now, I volunteered to bring the pies because I love pie, and I wanted to eat my pie. And so I had decided that I was going to make two pies, one for the pie that my husband wanted, which was pecan, and the other pie was going to be for me because I was sharing it, of course, but I got to choose what it was. He doesn't like crumb topping. I don't know why he doesn't like crumb topping, but I love crumb topping, and so the only time I get to cook a crumb topping pie is if I get to share it in something like this. So anyway, I made this Dutch apple caramel pie, made my own filling, had the, peeled the apples, got the crumb on top. I always make more crumb than is called for, so it's really crummy, and not crummy, but you know what I'm saying. And then put lots of caramel on top. I had these in a basket I had in the back. The pecan was on the bottom because it was lower, and then there's a wooden shelf, and then there was this other. My pie was on top, and it was all wrapped in foil, and I knew that the dog was staying up in the front of the car with us, but should we ever have to get out, the dog could get creative where he was going to be in the car, and so somebody needed to stay in the car with him. So we had driven all the way to Tennessee, and in that time, every time someone got out, someone was in the car making sure that the dog wasn't being mischievous. His name is Tracker. And so we were at the Firehouse Subs having our last meal before we headed to the cabin, and as I'm standing there getting my order, I realized Bob is also in the restaurant with me, which meant that nobody was in the car with Tracker. And so I looked at my son, and he and I are thinking the same thoughts. He goes, "I'll go with you, Mom," because he knew this could be a catastrophe about to happen, and he was willing to help pick up the pieces. And I opened up the back of the Jeep, and I can see Tracker has been an angel. He is up in the front. He's leaning over the seat. He's happy. He's looking at me, tongue hanging out, and he decides he wants to be with me. And he goes through the car, and of course, of all the places that his foot was going to land as he went through the back seat, was right in the middle of that Dutch apple pie. My son and I both go, like this, and it could have gone one of two ways. And this time, I didn't even have to think about it. I just started laughing. It was just one of the most humorous moments to me, and he looked at me more in shock that I was laughing at this moment. And anyway, we took care of the pie, go back in, and we were just almost in tears as we're telling the rest of the family what had happened. We ended up eating that pie, because who's going to let a good pie go to waste? And we cut out, the center section where his paw had just gone into it. But that was something that my daughter-in-law turned back to me later when we were talking about finding joy, and she said, "You laughed at that." And I said, "Yeah, I did." And it just surprised. So it's beautiful to see how God can, and his Holy Spirit, as he sanctifies you and works in you, he's going to also sanctify you to find the joy in life. Rachel.
Just to wrap up, today we've talked a lot about joy and happiness and in the Lord. And I don't want to assume here today that everyone has that joy in their home or has that feeling of joy that can be a part of your life. And I, you know, there is a way to have the deepest joy that no matter what, you can know for sure that you are loved and accepted by the Lord, and you can have a personal relationship with the Lord. And if you have any questions or you're not sure what that is, what is that joy? Will you please email me? I'd love to go to coffee. I'd love to just sit down with you and talk about joy, how you can have that joy in your life. And also, if you're a believer and you're in a dark place and you need to be reminded, of the joy of the Lord, I'd love to do that too. If you're not in a place where you can go to coffee, I will come to your house. Not that I'm anyone special, but I love to talk about it. I love to talk about the Lord. I love to just wrestle and answer questions and share my life and walk through that with you. If you have any questions, I'll put my email up here. And if you're at all feeling that pull, do it this afternoon. Don't wait. You know how things are. You get home and you get busy. And so if you're feeling that pull, do it this afternoon. Let's have coffee and talk through what can be a part of your life that no matter what, you can have a deep, satisfying joy in Christ. So let's pray, and then you can have your table discussion. God, thank you so much for these ladies and just for the topic of joy, Lord. And as believers, how even though it's hard, we can walk around with smiles on our faces because we have hope and we can have joy in you that goes so much farther than just a day of happiness, true joy through any circumstance, any trial. And you give us that because of who you are, nothing of what we've done. Help us to every day to be reminded that when we're tempted to gloat or pout or, as you know, have so many emotions, help us to be always focused on the joy we can have in you and show that to our children, so that they can be in a home that's filled with love and joy and smiles and not gloom, Lord, because we have you. So just help us be reminded of that, and a blessed table discussion, Lord, that we can encourage each other and push each other towards joy in these hard times of motherhood in some days. Thank you so much. We love you. Thank you for loving us. In your name, amen. Thank you, ladies.
So fun.